enjoy that.
But I miss the guys. We need guys, man. Enough of these girls. I'm tired of them already. I know you lost some of your recruits to Bible college, didn't you? Well, that's all of our high school girls. So, Brother Tom, let's get all of our high school boys and some of you guys that sing, have already part of the singing room, let's put them together and let's, they can do so much better than these girls anyway.
Doing all right, girls.
Those masculine, manly voices up here, you know.
That's good stuff.
Pastor, I want to again thank you for taking these 9 Wednesday nights in a row. And here we are. This is the last one. If you've benefited, would you say amen?
Amen,
amen here too. I was thinking the other day, I personally have made several changes and adjustments that I needed to make and that the Lord brought to my attention during these Wednesday night teaching sessions. And, boy, that's always good.
Yes.
I don't know about
yes.
you, but I never want to be satisfied in any area of my life. If I can do better for the Lord, I want to do better
yes.
for the Lord. And this has been personally a blessing to me. And I was going to say, if I'm the only one that got anything out of it, but I know I'm not because I've had many, many people come up and just say, Brother Jerry, this has just been great. It's helped us. It's helped our family. We've reorganized things. We're getting things paid off. We're advancing. We're going forward. And I promise you, I share this heart. Pastor Ross shares the same heart. All of these things were meant to help you. I
yes,
promise you that.
Absolutely.
And so we're looking forward to this. This is it, the conclusionary Bible study of the Treasure Series.
Amen. Amen.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter. And while you're turning, I want to thank Pastor Jerry for the opportunity to have preached these 9 weeks concerning treasures. And I want to say also, thank God for the 4 weeks that he taught on finances. Donna and I did not get to get here every week on that, but we've got tapes so we could hear them. But I've heard so many good reports from those and how it was such a help, and they've done some adjusting, and that's just been wonderful. And we're just grateful because that's what it's designed to do, is help us to just do more and be more like Jesus. Amen. All right, Matthew, the 16th chapter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'll start reading at verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you for your goodness and kindness. Thank you for who you are, the great, the true, the living, the only God. Thank you for Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Thank you tonight as we once again look into your word. We know your word is true, every word, every jot, every tittle of it. And Father, none of it shall ever fail. So whatever we find in your word, we know, Lord, it's what we ought to do or not to do. So we ask once again tonight, this preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. I need you to help me. Lord, you know my special needs, and I ask you to help this preacher tonight. We'll thank you for it in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. If you'll notice in verse number 27 that I read to you, he said, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, I don't think anybody can look at that and read that and say to us there's not going to be a day when Jesus rewards each man. Isn't that what he said? So the reward system that God has set up, he's established that. And he's assured us that each one will receive rewards according to his own works. That's agreeable, right? That's what the scripture says. I mean, just help me a little bit. I want to be sure I'm telling you the truth. And you saying amen means so be it. Amen. So anyway, it's important that we understand something. That the rewards that God gives are eternal. I'm preaching tonight on treasures eternal. We have preached what are they? Whose are they? Let me see, where to put them? How to manage them? We preached the other night on why so many. I'm not going to name all of them because I can't remember all of them. But anyway, I just want to assure you that the rewards, and that's what I basically want to do tonight, is to stir your heart that these rewards that God's talking about here are eternal rewards. Right before the services tonight, I asked Keith if he would go downstairs and get me a glass of water. And Keith, I want you to come up here a minute because I want to reward you for doing that for me. It's a big reward. Be careful. It's a piece of candy. Now, what I want you to do, though, is I want you to go over and sit down and eat it. Will you do that? You'd have no problem. Amen. But thank you for getting me the glass of water. And I want you to go ahead and unwrap that thing, and I want you to eat it. Amen. Everybody else is envious of you right now, especially all the little children. They would like to have it, but you're awful slow. Now you're doing fine. That's it. But I want you to understand something, that rewards are eternal. God's rewards are eternal. Now, this is important that you understand that. Over in the scripture, and I think I have it written here somewhere, I want you to remember the Bible says, and of course you're familiar with this in the book of Proverbs, the Bible tells us that he that winneth souls is wise. Okay? Now, you agree with that? If we win souls, we're wise. Now listen to what he says in Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that be wise. Now did you hear what it says? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Okay? He goes on to say, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars. Now, I've left off a word or two on purpose. He says that if you're wise, you'll shine as the firmament. And those that turn many to righteousness as the stars. How long? Forever and ever. You see, God's not going to just give you a reward for being a soul winner and someone who has been a great witness for Christ. He's not going to just give you the ability, and I believe the shining as the brightness of the stars and the firmament is speaking of the ability to display throughout eternity the glory of God. Now, that's my belief. But I do know that he says it'll be forever and ever. He won't just give you that as a soul winner, as a witness, for a little while. God's rewards are eternal. And I think it's important you get a hold of this because it'll put a new importance on serving God and doing what God says to do. Because a lot of times I think people say, well, just as long as I get to heaven. I've heard people tell me that. Just as long as I get to heaven, I'm going to be satisfied. No, you're not. Now, you say, is it going to be great just to get to heaven? Yes, it is. But there's more to it than that. There's a whole lot more to it than that. That's why God has given us instructions in the Word that what we're to do, you see, so to please Him while we're on the road to heaven. Now, Keith, have you got that eaten? Now, I just wanted to illustrate this because you know what? Keith went and got me a glass of water. I gave him a piece of candy, and that candy is gone. Never to be seen again. Amen. I mean, he's devoured it over there. Now, you see, that's opposite of what God does. Now, you get a hold of this. You see, he don't give out consumable rewards. I don't have all the answers on what God's rewards are going to be. I'm going to tell you, I've looked at that thing and thought about it and all that. But I don't think the Scriptures really gives us a lot of answers as to all of the rewards. He just says, I'll bring my rewards with me. And I'm going to reward every man according to his works. Now, God said that. I may not know all of the rewards and what they are, but I know that God has set up a reward system. And they are eternal. God's rewards are eternal. They'll go on throughout all eternity. It's like I read to you here about the, you know, shining as the brightness of the firmament, I believe it says. I'm sorry. Brightness of the firmament, yes. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. See, you don't just stop shining. It's an eternal thing. Now, I guess what I want you to get a hold of is, folks, it is going to be important when God comes and gives our rewards. We're not just serving God for the rewards, but we're doing it because he tells us to. It pleases him. But he's the one that set up the reward system. I didn't set it up. You didn't set it up. God set up the reward system. Okay? And he tells us he's going to come and his rewards are going to be with him. So again, if you'll get a hold of this fact, that rewards are eternal, it'll put a little more importance in our service and what we do for God. Amen? And we've spent 8 weeks prior to this trying to share with you about rewards, about treasures. And I hope you know that we've got a little, and a lot of that was just designed to stir your heart. See, we've talked a lot about money because it was financial things, but we know it's much more than just money. But let me assure you, and we'll go through some scripture here, it is about finances, and what we do with our finances is part of it. Okay? Amen. I mean, you got to hold that? Yes, amen. See, there was over in Cairo, Egypt, they tell me, and I read this story, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. I can't remember. It's been back a while. I had never heard of William Borden. Is anybody in here ever heard of William Borden? Sister Eileen and maybe some others. I can't remember. I can't see. Okay. William Borden. When the story goes that William Borden had such a love for the Muslim people and that he also inherited a great amount of wealth. And so because of that, he began to give thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars away to missions that was working with the Muslims. And finally, he himself, and they said he lived a very frugal life, that he would not hardly purchase anything extra for himself because he wanted to give it to missions. And so finally he decided that he was going to go to Egypt himself and be a missionary over there and try to reach the Muslim people. And the story that I read was that after 4 months of ministry over there, he contracted spinal meningitis and he died at the age of 25. And he was buried over there in Egypt. And the tombstone where he was buried at told of his great love for the Muslim people. And at the end of it, on the tombstone, it says this: apart from faith in Christ, there is no explanation for such a life. Here's a young man who had great wealth, had such a desire and a love for the Muslim people
that he gave all of his wealth away so that he might gain heavenly treasures. There's another tomb over in Egypt, and the man that's buried in that is a man by the name of King Tut. Now, most of you have heard of King Tut. And he was buried, and of course, if you know anything about him, they say he was buried with golden chariots that they had made, and it was a monstrous tomb place where he was buried, and he was buried with these solid gold chariots, thousands of golden artifacts, thousands of them, they said, and also a gold coffin which he was placed in. Then he also said that the burial site was filled with tons of gold. And he even had, and I think that's kind of a little bit famous, that gold mask that they put on him as a mask like his face. It was formed, and it was gold. Well, you see, the people, the heathen over there, believed that they could take all these things with them. Okay? I mean, so that's why they loaded all of that stuff up and put gold in the tomb and all of that, because he was going to be going off to another life, and he was going to take all of that stuff with him. You know, that's the way the American Indians, to some degree, believed also. They was going to go to a happy hunting ground. And so they'd put their bury their horses with them sometimes, and their bows and arrows and all kinds of things, because they'd need them over on the other side. Now, you and I know that's nothing but heathenism. But this man, Howard Carter, discovered his tomb in 1922. And they say that it hadn't been touched for 3,000 years. And King Tut didn't take a bit of it with him. It's just all right there. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? You see, the difference between the two men that I told you about is that one of them tonight is crying out in hell, begging for a drop of water, because he put his trust and all of his treasures that he had on this earth, his trust in those treasures, and that he was going to go to some other kind of life. And yet the other man, William Bowden, he took and put all of his treasures and sent them up to heaven before he left. You understand what I'm saying? You see, he got that all taken care of. They didn't mean anything to him. So he now is in heaven and enjoying all of that that he sent ahead. Again, I don't know all about the rewards. I know if God done it, it's going to be right and proper and wonderful. That's just all I know. But I just say to you, you see, heaven is not going to be boring. I don't know whether you got the idea, you know. I don't know what all we're going to do in heaven, but it's going to be a wonderful place. And I want to be a part of that, and will be because of Christ, but I want to gain the benefits of heaven. Now, I want you to go over to the book of Revelation for a few minutes. We're going to look at some scripture. 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I want to start reading in verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, I read that to you. I'm trying to get you to understand the principle that to be a child of God is a great privilege, but there's also, God has some things waiting for us. These people were not beheaded. I mean, were beheaded for the cause of Christ. And what did he say? He said, "You'll reign with me 1,000 years. What I'm trying to get over is, folks, listen, God rewards faithfulness. Okay? He rewards that. And he says to them, they didn't take the mark of the beast. They was beheaded. And he said, "You'll reign with me for 1,000 years. Now, I'm going to go over to the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. Let's begin to read at verse 20. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, which I have gained besides them, 5 talents more.' And his Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.'" Now, I'm not going to continue to read. These are just principles that I want you to understand. God said, "I gave you 5 talents. I believe down below it says that he gave one 2 talents, gave one talent. And he says that they came back, this one man came back and said, "I gained 5 talents. And he said, "That's wonderful. That's good. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He done good." What I'm saying, when we do right, God rewards. Now, I'm saying to you, I don't know all of the rewards and all the reasons for rewards, although we'll find a few of them. But I am saying to you that God is going to reward according to faithfulness. I don't know what he's given you. You can call them just talents, or you can call it a ministry, or you can call it a life that God has given you. What have you and I done with our life that God has given us? What have we done with it? Have we multiplied it for the cause of Christ? You understand what I'm saying? You see, and God says, of course, you know, on down, you know, he takes from the one and gives it to the one who has 10 talents, and he gives it to them. I'm just saying to you, folks, there is a reward system that God has set up, and he rewards faithfulness. Okay? What I'm wanting you to do is simply, I want you to stand before God one of these days. I know your pastor does. And I want you to stand before God. That's why we teach like we do. I want you to stand there and receive the rewards that God has for you. And I want you to live a life that you're able to let the Lord say, you know, "I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with what you have gained back." You see, he said he gave one, two, I think it was, if I remember. And I'm saying to you, you know, everybody in here is not talented the same. Okay? He doesn't give all the same thing, but whatever he gives us, we ought to multiply it. All right? You understand? You see, God is going to reward. That's what Jesus said. Every man according to his own works. Okay? Oh, go with me also then over to the book of Colossians, please. I'm not going to turn to those, but just let me make mention to you. In another portion of Scripture there in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter, he mentions also that they'll be rewarded with the rule over certain cities because of their faithfulness. We find also in the book of Colossians here, the 3rd chapter, listen as we read, verse number 17. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and it is fit in the Lord." Now, I want you to listen to me because this is important. You get a hold of this. A lot of times people don't think that's really that important. I'm going to skip down and read verse 24. "Knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." The things that he said before that verse of scripture, he's saying you receive the reward, what for? He says to the wives, if you'll submit to your own husbands. You see, we're living in America, you know, free independent spirits. And I'm saying to you, ladies, it would be a wise thing for you that you would submit to your own husband, because God's going to hand out rewards for it. You understand? And then he says to the men, he says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Again, we men, God says we are to love our wives and be not bitter against them. We should not try to make life hard for them and difficult for them. You see, if we want the rewards that God talks about in verse 24, he says that's what a husband will do. He'll be a good husband. He'll do right. Amen? And then you find in verse number 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So again, what's he say to the children? He says, you obey your parents. If you want the reward that he's talking about here in verse 24, you obey your parents. Okay? Is that what he says? Sure it is. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger or to wrath. He said, fathers, we better be careful what we do as a father, as we raise our children. You see, we're asking them to submit and obey us as parents. And he says, now don't provoke them to wrath. Don't ask of them more than they can do. Be kind and gracious to them as they grow up. Amen. Teach them, train them, all of those things, but don't provoke them to wrath or anger. Is that what he says? Amen. So he's saying to us fathers, you want this reward we talked about. You see, I could go on and on. I don't want to do that, but I could go on and on. Same thing. You understand what I'm saying? Do we want the reward? Because God says in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You see, I'm saying to you, all these things are God's reward system. I don't understand it all. All I know, it's there. And he's talking about things that we better do if we want the reward. Amen? Amen? Sure. And now let's go over to the book of Luke, 6th chapter, verse number 22. Says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall persecute you separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Here he talks about we have great reward in heaven if you suffer persecution. And you do it for Christ's sake. No, it's not just because somebody dislikes you, because you're dislikable. Amen? No, it's for Christ's sake. That you have been living for God. You live for him and walk with him, and people make fun of you and persecute you. All those things. I look back on my life, and honestly, I can't see where I've really suffered much persecution. I really haven't. Not really what they call persecution. Have I had hard times, difficult? Oh, sure. But I don't really consider having suffered a lot of persecution. I've had people call me about everything, all those kind of things. But you know what? That's not really persecution. Heavy persecution. But God says, if you'll accept the persecution and live for God and do right, he said, I'll reward you for it. Amen. Amen. Now look at verse number 30 in chapter 6. It says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise.
For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them.
Now, I think I read this last week, but boy, you better get a hold of this portion of Scripture. You know, there's nothing wrong with loving those that love you. Nothing wrong with giving to those who love you. There's nothing wrong with that. But God says that's not the great priority.
Listen to what he says. He said, and if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same.
He says, you know what? Sinners do that. I mean, amen?
Sure. And he said, if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil.
He said your reward will be in heaven. What for? To give to those who love you? No, he didn't say anything wrong with that, but that's not where the reward comes from. He said even sinners do that. Amen? Sure. But he says, and I think this is a marvelous thing, because in that verse he said, you'll be the children of the Highest. Why? For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You see, we a lot of times we'll look at people, we say, well, he don't deserve anything. He ought to get out and do this, and he ought to do that. And you know, we don't give, we don't want to give sometimes to the evil or to the unthankful. But God does. I wouldn't be standing here today if he didn't. Have you ever been times in your life when you've been unthankful? I'll raise my hand. You don't have to, but I'll raise my hand. You know what? God just kept giving to me. Now, you suppose there might be some unthankful folk that maybe we ought to look to? God says reward, your reward in heaven will be great. You understand what I'm saying? You see, God has a reward system, and even here he's talking about those who are poor, those who are your enemies. He says, you know what? You're to give to them and be gracious to them. Why? Because God did. And we can testify to that. Amen? You see, I could go. I think I do want to go to one more scripture over in the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, the 4th chapter. Fourth chapter of Philippians, let's read verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know that what in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now listen, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. See, Paul said it was a good thing that you gave to me, and he needed it. He needed all of that, but he said the main reason I wanted you to do it because God is going to put fruit toward their account. Now, I think about that, and I suppose we all have an account with God. Okay? And I'm saying to us, what can he do? How can he put some fruit to our account if we don't get busy and do some of the things the Scripture says that we're to do? See, they gave.
They wanted to give, and they was gracious about their giving. They took care of the Apostle Paul in his great time of need. And he said, I'll tell you what, there's going to be fruit to your account. Amen? Sure. So anyway, I got a lot of more scriptures I could take you to, but I'm not going to do that. But I mainly want you to understand something. Your heart absolutely will be where your treasure is. Now, you know, that's what the scripture says.
Amen.
There, where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. Now, true? Is that right?
Amen.
Sure. Now, God said that. So wherever your treasure is, that is absolutely where our heart is going to be. You know why I think that some people dread leaving this old earth? This is where their treasure is. They really have no much desire to leave. You know why? Because their treasure's down here. See, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. John Wesley wrote about the time that he toured a plantation. I don't know where that plantation was at, but he had taken a tour on a plantation with its owner. And they got on horses, and this owner took them all over that plantation. They spent hour after hour and still did not see it all. And so he said, we better head back home before it gets dark. So they headed back home, and they got back, and they sat down I call it supper. Some folk call it dinner. It's supper in the country. But he sat down for supper, and they was talking, and the owner said, okay. He said, what did you think? What did you think about this? And he said, well, I'll tell you what I think. I think you're going to have an awful hard time leaving all of this. And I think, if we don't be careful, I think that's the way we Christians are. We're going to have an awful hard time walking away from all of this. Why? Because this is where our treasure is. This is where our heart is. Amen? You see, the heart always follows the treasure. Let me say something to you, okay? This is not going to happen, and I don't want it to happen. But if you would sit down with this preacher, and you would show me your checkbook and your Visa card billing or whatever you get, okay? You'd show me that and show me all the receipts that you had bought and purchased. I would tell you real quickly where your heart was. Because it's where your treasures are. It'd be a good thing sometime to sit down in your checkbook and go through it. The itemized items on your card, your credit card, or whatever it might be, it'd be a good thing you just sit down sometime and go through it. You might find one once in a while that says the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But you'll find out pretty soon where your treasure is. And God says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's at. Now, didn't he?
Amen.
Sure. Sure he did. Amen. See, the compass, the needle of a compass always turns back to the north, follows the north. And that's what hearts do. They follow treasures. You say, well, maybe, yeah, no, God said so.
Amen.
See, whatever he said, that's true. That's what it means. Amen. Now I want to ask you something. If you bought 10 shares of stock, okay, and something happened to the stock market like it did yesterday, it dropped 416 points yesterday. And if I had 10 shares somewhere, I want to tell you the truth, I don't have a share nowhere. I'm not bragging. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you. I don't. And when it said it dropped 416 points, it didn't bother me a bit. Okay? Now, I don't want people to lose money. I have no desire for that. Some people do work in the stocks and all that. That's fine. But if you had 10 shares and the market dropped, you wouldn't be too concerned. But let's say you had 2,000 shares. I have a feeling you'd be scammering to find out how far it was going. You'd be real interested. Do you think so? Sure. Well, you see, people said to me, I don't seem to just have, like Pastor Jerry was talking about, a real interest or a concern about missions. It's because you haven't invested in it. What you invest in, you will be concerned about. And if you haven't invested in it, you're certainly not going to really care that much about it. It's all in what you invest in. You see, your church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you see, if you don't invest anything in it, you're not really going to have any interest in it. No, you're not. But when you invest in it, you give of your time, you give of your finances, you give working and serving and soul winning and doing all of that, I want to tell you, you're going to have an investment and an interest in this church. You're going to care what happens here. You know why? Because you've invested in it. Amen? See, the Bible says to lay treasures, lay treasures up in heaven. You see, and we can, and this whole series basically is just trying to get you to say, you know what, I better be busy about laying treasures up in heaven, because that's what's really going to count. You see, if you lay your, let's just say these are the treasures you have on earth, this right here. Every day you live, you spend your life walking away from those treasures. Oh, yes, you do. You know why? Because they're going to stay here every day of your life. But if you lay your treasures in heaven, every day you live, you're making a step forward toward the treasures that are laid up in heaven. Yeah. You see, these folk are rich and all that, every single day of their life, they're stepping back from their treasures. Because they're not going to take it with them. But just think about it. Them that's laid up in heaven, we're getting ready to go to them. Amen? Every day of our life, we take a step closer to the treasures that's laid up in heaven, you see. Now, why? Why, Brother Ron? Well, because treasures are eternal. They'll be there forever. Amen? They won't diminish. They won't change. So what should we do? We need to be busy about laying up treasures in heaven. I told you earlier, Daniel, the 12th chapter, 3rd verse, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. See, it'll never diminish. Now, what we do is we choose whether an earthly reward that goes in a moment of time. And it does. All material things will go away, be gone. Or we can take those things and we can put them toward heaven, laying up treasures in heaven, and they'll be there forever. For treasures are eternal. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the day you've given us, for the time, and for this simple message. We thank you for it and ask you, God, to take it and use it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.